The book of the Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation 22 this morning, and we're looking, Revelation 22, verse number 17. One verse here together. Revelation 22, 17, the last invitation of the Scripture. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Everybody this week has been, the whole world has been watching and listening as the royal wedding took place. And the wedding between Kate and William, they estimate 2 billion people watched that wedding. 2 billion people, one of the most televised events in the history of the world. And the great deal of fanfare, and certainly nothing wrong with that. And I mean, our British heritage and all that goes with that. But this morning, I want to talk about not the wedding of the century. They say this is the wedding of the century. But this morning, I'm not talking about the wedding of the century, but rather I am talking about the wedding of the ages. The wedding of the ages. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we come asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, help us, I pray, to realize that just as real as the pomp and the pageantry of the wedding in England this past week, Lord, some of these days, there's coming a wedding, and the church of the living God's going to be the bride, and the Lord Jesus is going to be the groom, and Lord, we're going to be united once together in holy matrimony to never be separated or parted again. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your help to us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this service now to your glory. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Please be seated.
You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride, Christ is the groom, with a crown to wear and a long white robe. We'll walk down the aisle made of pure gold. What is your supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation, he's sending with love. Now if Daniel can come from a lion's den, if fire can touch 3 Hebrew children, if Lazarus can make it up from the grave, you and I can go by way of saying, what is your answer? How will you respond? The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation, he's sending with love. And the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation, he's sending with love.
The scripture says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Great deal was done this week about the royal wedding. And it was a big deal. You know what? One of the biggest things that I found out about it all? That William, Prince William, is a descendant of King James the First on his daddy's side and his mama's side. They were actually distantly related, but he has double royal bloodline from King James the First, where our King James Bible came from 400 years ago. So William is, it seemed like that's God's design. William certainly, and he's still in the military, and so he was dressed in military attire, and his bride as they came out, and the world watched. And Lindsay had said to me on Wednesday evening, she said, "Preacher, you're going to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and watch the royal wedding?" And I laughed. I said, "That'll be the day." But the joke was on me, because about 4 o'clock, 4:30, I woke up hurting like usual. But I was got up and tried to get tornado coverage. I was wanting to see the tornado damage. I went through every channel there was, and I never did find one thing about the tornado. I think even the cartoon channel was covering the royal wedding. I mean, everything you could imagine. They had every kind of take-off on it, and the bake shows were having royal cake bake-offs, and I don't want no. I mean, everybody just went crazy about it. And I thought about, what would it be like? What would it be like to be in that limelight? What would it be like to have a marriage like that? What would it be like to have all those people in attendance and all the... And you know, it just dawned on me, and the truth come across my soul, it's going to happen. And those that are redeemed are going to be a part of it. And this morning, I want to share from Scripture a little bit about the wedding plans. Can we do that? Can I just share with you some of the things that the Scripture tells us about the plans for the royal wedding? Not the wedding of the century, mind you, between William and Kate, but the wedding of the ages between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation, of course, you've just heard read. The invitation is sent out. And by the way, this invitation has been sent out worldwide. The invitation has been sent out in all kind of languages. And right now, we're still printing languages. And we're finding languages that the invitation has never been printed in. And we're working hard trying to get the invitation printed in Greenlandic and Yupik and the islands there of the North Atlantic, whatever they are, the ones that we just worked on. And all these little notch languages, we're trying to get the invitation out in every language to every kindred and every tongue on the planet. Do you realize that the invitation to this wedding is the most publicized event that has ever occurred or ever will occur in the history of the human race? And in whatever language it is, it all says the same thing. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. So there's the invitation. Well, their wedding was held, I guess, at where Westminster Abbey, I believe, is where it was held at. Magnificent cathedral. But can I tell you that the abbey is going to look like a little chapel compared to where our vows, where our uniting is going to take place? The Bible tells us a little bit about it. I won't read all of it. But Revelation 21 declares a little bit about that place. The Bible says that it's going to be held at that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. I mean, it's so big that it has 12 gates, the Bible says. And it's measured with a reed 12,000 furlongs. Hey, our wedding chapel is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. And it'll seat everybody that attends. But get this, it's built of the wall. It was as of jasper, the scripture says in verse 18. The city was pure gold like unto glass. The foundations of the wall, you know, foundations usually put stones or concrete or something. You know what they used for the foundations of the city? They used precious stones. jasper and sapphire and all emeralds and all the rest. Some of them I can't even name. And all of these, there's precious jewels in the foundation of the city that those walls of jasper I set upon. 12 gates, and they're made out of a pure pearl, and they are the streaks of gold. There, you can see yourself in them. When we get there, you'll be able to straighten up your hat by looking in the ground, because the Bible says it's transparent gold. It is as transparent as glass. And you say, we're going to have a church wedding? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's no temple therein. The Bible says, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. It's a church wedding, all right, but there ain't no temple can hold him. There ain't nothing that even his own hands can create that can hold him, because he's eternal God. And by the way, it's going to be a green wedding. Not going to use no electricity, because the Bible says he's going to be the light thereof. Amen? He's going to be the light. He's going to be the light thereof. And the Bible says in verse 24 of Revelation 21, and the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the Bible says, get this, the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It's going to be a royal wedding, all right, because the kings of the earth that knew Christ, they're going to be there. And they're going to be in attendance in that place. Going to be held in the New Jerusalem, my friend. Going to make the Abbey look like a little wedding chapel over in Gatlinburg compared to where we're going to meet and where this wedding is going to take place. Well, I guess you might wonder a little bit about the attire. The train on the bride's dress, on the princess's dress, on Kate's dress, they said was 10 feet long. Well, let me tell you a little bit how we're going to dress. It's going to be a formal wedding. And it's going to be, the color is going to be white. The Bible said that the bride will have on white. And you might say, well now preacher, if we're the bride, I'm not sure that we're eligible to wear white. Well, can I say right off, you're not? I'm not. But the scripture says we've been made eligible by the blood of Christ. The Bible says he's going to present us as a chaste virgin to himself. That's right. Not by what we've done and our righteousness, but by his righteousness. Can I say it this way? If Kate Middleton had got married, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. Probably wouldn't even have made the news if Kate Middleton had got married to anybody else but Prince William. But because of who she married, they now refer to her as Princess Kate. Amen? And all of the royalty and pageantry and all of the pomp and circumstance that was due the prince was transferred to the princess. Not because she was anybody, but because of who she is marrying. That's what made that's what made the headline. That's what made it the most televised event in the history of planet Earth. 2 billion people watching it around the world. Because of who she is getting married to. Can I say hallelujah? It's not about our righteousness. It's about his righteousness. And we're going to be arrayed in white. The Bible said, let us be glad and rejoice, Revelation 19:7, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The Bible says in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white, or in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Oh, can you imagine what it's going to look like? That bride adorned for her beloved. But by the way, there's also the attire of the groom. And my friend, he's going to be wearing red. Say, how do you know? Because Revelation 19 says so. Revelation 19:12 said his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture. A vesture is a robe. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. I mean, he's going to be wearing blood red. He's going to be wearing red garment. Can you imagine the contrast between that white apparel of that bride and that red garment of that groom? You talk about a gorgeous wedding. And the Bible said his name is called the Word of God. So there's the attire. But then, can I share with you a little bit about the attendants? You know how many attendants we're going to have? Oh, they're going to be a lot. Going to be a lot. How you know? Well, the Bible says, Revelation 19:14, and the armies. Jude said 10,000s times 10,000s. Does that mean Jude said they're going to be? Those are the attendants. He said, which are in heaven, followed him on white horses. Look at this, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All the bridesmaids, all the groomsmen, they're going to be dressed in white too. Oh, it's going to be a time. It's going to be quite an affair. Let me tell you about the theme of the wedding of the ages. You know, a lot of weddings take on different themes. A lot of them have different settings. Sometimes there's a garden wedding. Sometimes, you know, there's this kind, that kind, different ones, different kinds of wedding. Well, did you know that the wedding of the ages is going to have an equestrian theme? How's that? You see, the groom is going to ride in to receive his bride on a white horse. The Bible says he will. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And then the Bible says all those that followed him, all the attendants going to be on white horses. Now, I look like I was born on a horse. I'm bow-legged. I look like I was born on a horse, but I ain't much of a horseman. I don't know. My physique ain't made for it. I don't know why it is. I don't know. I don't have what it takes to ride a horse very far and very long, Brother Jerry. But I tell you this, mine's going to fit me just right. Mine's going to fit just right. And when those great winged stallions come back to planet, ain't going to be no saddle sores, I tell you that. It's going to be just right. We're going to have an equestrian theme. Can you imagine those white saints, white clothed saints on those white horses? And leading that group and leading the bride and leading the attendants is going to be the bridegroom. And he's going to have that red vesture. And he's going to be leading the crowd. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the music. Listen, it's going to be sentimental. It really is. When Christy and Joe got married, we had practiced it, but we hadn't told nobody. Christy and Joe, we married them up at the old Midway Church, and Christy had pre-recorded the song. And it come to a point in the thing, and Joe didn't know. Joe knew a song was coming. I don't know what he knew, but we had said something to him like, there'll be a song here or something. But he did not know Christy was going to turn. Was it recorded or did you do it live? She was going to turn both. She turned and they held hands. And it had been recorded, but she sang along with her own voice recording. And she sang a song to Joe. And I thought I was going to have to get a spoon and dip him up out of the floor. His knees went weak. And I'm telling you what's truth. You know, us men, we're not too sentimental. I'm going to tell you something. I was looking for a place to run. I thought, what are we going to do? How do we get out of this? Now what? I'm gonna ride Joe piggyback. No, that won't work. His knee's too weak. Joe, you ride me piggyback. Amen. We'll make a lap or two. Woo! You talk about touch. You talk about the presence of God. Now, I mean, I never been to too many weddings. Felt like you wanted to shout and have camp meeting. But boy, I mean, God moved in on that thing. Woo! We had a time. Well, can I say to you that, hey, when we're there and when we are about to be joined to our beloved and when we have seen him for the first time and when we clasp hands for him, never to let go, the Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 9, us, the bride, we're going to cut loose a singing to our bridegroom. You say, well, preacher, I can't sing very good. Well, don't worry, you're going to have a new glorified voice. And we're going to sing in a sanctified harmony like the world has never known. Say, preacher, how does the tune go? I don't know the tune, but I got a little bit of the lyrics. You want me to read you a little bit of the lyrics? The lyrics go something like this. Revelation 5:9. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I don't know how the chorus goes, but that's how part of the verse goes. A new song. And by the way, we're going to be singing this one solo. We're going to be singing it a cappella because the angels can't sing it. We're going to have a new song that the angelic... Somebody said, oh, I know who's going to be singing at the wedding. That angelic chorus is going to be singing. That would be impersonal. You see, the angels don't know what it is to be redeemed. They can't talk about what it's going to be like to be redeemed. Can you imagine little Bo... Hey, can you imagine little Ruth? As her and Boaz stood at the marriage altar, can you imagine her singing this song? I mean, she was a nobody, she was a nothing, and here she is marrying Boaz, and not only is she inheriting everything he's got, but she's inheriting everything that her husband, everything that his family ever had, she's getting it all. And by the way, the daughter that didn't come, there was enough there to redeem her, but she didn't come. She went back into her land into oblivion. Hey, but the kinsman redeemer had enough to redeem them all. And can you see little Ruth? Of course, it's a song that she sang to her mother-in-law. And we sing it and say it at weddings. Whether you go, I'll go. Whether you be your God, be my God. Whether you go, I'll go. And we recite those words. Boy, I can just hear our little Ruth. Matter of fact, I can just see her as we stand there in the wedding. I can see the saints of old. I can see Rahab the harlot. I can see Ruth the Moabitess. I can see the different ones that God has raised up from their sin and has grafted them in, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And yet God has grafted them in into the royal priesthood. And there's somebody. And I can see drunkards, dope addicts. I can see harlots and whoremongers. I can see all the different sins of mankind, but yet we won't see them in that light. But I'm talking about people who were delivered from that by the bridegroom. And now they have a chance to sing him a song, a love song, a sonnet that nobody else can sing. Can you imagine? Can you just hear it? And the angels will be listening with full attention as the bride sings her new song. Oh, by the way, there is a reception to follow. Yeah. And by the way, it's not going to be mints and peanuts. We had a Mennonite wedding here back a couple years ago. Mennonites used the building. And the whole time they was getting married, I kept smelling something. And it didn't smell like no peanuts. And it didn't smell like no little wieners either. You know, in the pigs in the poke. It didn't smell like it at all. I said, have mercy, somebody's a-cooking something. You know what they did? They served great, big, old porterhouse steaks. And they sat on that stage downstairs. They set the wedding party up across there, looking out on everybody, and they served them large steaks with all the Amish trimmings. You talk about a feast. I thought to myself, praise God, I may not agree with them on some things, but I sure enough agree with them on wedding receptions. Whoopee! I would that more people would have that tradition. Hallelujah. But you know what? It's scriptural. Because the Bible says that we're not going to have mince and punch. We're going to have supper. Now, you know the difference between dinner and supper, don't you? There's a big controversy about that. Some people in the country, they call it dinner. Others call it supper. I said, well, I'm for all of the above. And they said, why is that? I said, because I eat them all. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and supper. I eat four times a day. So I'm for it all. But it ain't the Lord's dinner, is it? What was it? The Lord's supper. Oh, yeah. See, lunch, that's a light meal. But son, supper, now that's when you put on the feed bag. That's when it gets, that's a serious eating time. Man might grab a sandwich for lunch, but come supper time, honey, That's when we have all the courses. And that's when everything comes together. And that's when all the family is seated around the table. And that's when you have that time of fellowship. Supper. The supper table. It's sad that America no longer has the supper table. We eat by the TV and have a snack at the bar. And we run, you know, the breakfast bar. And we run here, run there. The time was everybody had to come to supper. Everybody had to sit down. And we didn't start till everybody was seated. And you had to be there, and they expected you to be there, and your place is empty until your place is full. I mean, they expect you to be there. Set your plate. And then we'd eat together, and nobody got up and run, played Nintendo or answered the cell phone. Hey, everybody sat there until everybody was done, that it was finished, and then got up and went to separate ways. The Bible says in Revelation 19:9, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true sayings of God. Hey, we're going to have a supper, and you're going to have, we're going to have a supper like we've never had before. The marriage supper of the Lamb. They talked about the cake of the royal wedding and how they had spent weeks making the little flowers. And now each of the little flowers was a symbol of this or that or the other. And each one had a different thing. And they were talking about what it cost. And you know what they said? We don't care what it cost. The answer was, we don't know and we don't care. The Royal Treasury of England will handle it. We don't have a wedding every day. We don't have a royalty getting married every day. We're not going to spare any expense. Whatever it costs is fine. Can I say, when we sit down at the marriage supper, hey, every expense has been paid. Yeah. Yeah, we won't have to make payments on this one. She's paid in advance. Paid in full. That's why we're there. That's why we're celebrating. But let me tell you one of the strangest things of all. The wedding's going to be catered. But get this. The bridegroom is going to take off his wedding garment and he's going to gird himself as a servant. And the Bible says that Christ himself will serve us. I can't hardly imagine that. The bridegroom's place is at the head of the table. The bridegroom's place is beside the bride. The bridegroom's place is the place of honor. And the bridegroom's place is the place of prestige. And if anything, all of the guests, they should be waiting on him. But not so. Just the opposite. Christ himself, the Bible says. Luke 12:37. I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. That's what it says. I don't know if I can stand that. I don't know if I can take that. What an honor it would be just to get to serve, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be an honor to get to wait tables at the marriage supper? But oh no, don't you think for a minute you're going to get to wait no tables. No, no, no. You are in the seat of honor, and Christ will gird himself, and he'll be waiting tables, and he'll be serving us. Just as that bride had that special song that she sang a new song that the angels couldn't sing, and she sang it to him to give him glory. On the other hand, to symbolize his love and his total self-sacrifice, totally self-sacrificing position. Even after he's already come and redeemed his bride, after he's gone to the slave market and bid everything he had, his own lifeblood, and bought us back from the market of slavery as Hosea bought back Gomer. Even in the midst of that, he wants to show the bride honor, and he girds himself and becomes the caterer and serves us. I can't hardly even fathom that. That hardly even makes sense. You say, well, preacher, this wedding invitation, you've left out something. What have you left out? Well, let me think a minute. We've talked about where it's going to be at, the New Jerusalem. What to wear? Oh, it's going to be formal. It's got to have special sinless garments. The attendants, we know who they are. We know the theme. It's going to be an equestrian theme, white horses. We know the music will be provided by the bride. We know there's a full meal to follow the service. We know who's catering the service, the groom. But there's one thing we haven't even mentioned, and one of the things you usually mention the first, and that is the time and date. Preacher, when's it going to be? Well, the Bible says, Matthew 24:44, on the wedding invitation it says, to be announced. TBA. The Bible says, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. That's why we got to be ready. Now, could be today. The bridegroom could come today to claim his bride. Hey, folks, I'm like the little boys that were interviewed. They said, what do you think about all these tornadoes? And the little boy said, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. Can I say to you that there's so many natural disasters we can't even respond? The reason that the Tennessee emergency management's not in the western part or not in the eastern part is because it's flooded so bad in the western part and they got so much damage out there, they don't have enough resources to come. Even though 33 people dead in East Tennessee, they don't have the resources. They're stretched too thin. The same thing happened in North Carolina. The same thing in Alabama. They said our police departments are gone. Our fire departments are gone. Our EMS is gone. Said our infrastructure is gone and we're overwhelmed because of this tragedy in Tuscaloosa. What do you think all this is about? When have you heard anything about the nuclear disaster in Japan? We quit hearing about that. You know why? Because there's been other disasters closer home. It's still over there. It's still toxic. It's still tragic. It's still a mess. And there's still trouble. But we don't even discuss it now on the news because so much more bad has happened that we are preoccupied with all the other things that have taken place. Week before last, it was the North Carolina tornadoes. And all that were dead, Raleigh, Fayetteville, and to the coast. This week, it's Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia. What's it going to be next week? What's next week? We'll know, won't we? Fires raging in Texas, and I could go on and on and on. Can I say, hey, I believe the Lord's trying to tell us something. I believe He's trying to tell us, get ready. Get ready. Any day now, any hour now, the Son of Man cometh. And oh, by the way, on the wedding invitation, it says at the bottom, RSVP. You ever wondered what that stands for? Did you know, RSVP, everybody knows that means you need a reply. But did you know what it stands for? I didn't know. I had to look it up. It's French. And the phrase in French is, respondez, s'il vous plaît. Respond if you please. And the Bible says, Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Can I tell you that if you show up at the door without getting a reservation, you will be turned away. But this morning you can respond if you please. You can RSVP by saying, Lord, I respond to your invitation. I want to be a part of your bride. I want to be a part of the redeemed. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to come into my heart. And I want to be ready for that royal wedding of the ages someday. But they which are names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I have a question this morning. Is your name there? Do you know beyond any shadow of doubt that if the Lord comes before this service concludes, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have trusted Christ as Savior? He knows you and you know Him. And you have a seat reserved at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Friend, the wedding of the century, William and Kate, seen worldwide, talked about in all languages. But there's an event that's going to make that one pale by comparison. And that is when Christ steps out on the clouds to call His bride, and we're united with Him, never to be separated again. You see, there's a wedding invitation, and the question is, how will you respond?